Shalom, Rabbi Galperin. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God, Ilan. How are you?
Good. So the high holidays are behind us.
Yes. Now, you know, we've got to take the inspiration, all the energy that we got from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur,
yeah.
Sukkot, and Simchat Torah. We've got to help us drive through the whole year.
Go forward.
That's right. To keep going forward and rebuilding the world and doing different things and... You know, this year started off on a good note. You know, we had a lot of things going on in the world, and one of them, you know, the fact that we had a brother that came home. So that was a nice thing. That was good.
Yeah.
So, Baruch Hashem, thank God.
Metir Asurim. Baruch Metir Asurim, you say, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Someone that's being free from captivity. Coming back to his family, coming back to his home, to his... You know, country is a beautiful thing.
That's great. So, Parashat Noach.
Yeah, Parashat Noach. This week's Torah portion. You know, the whole book of Bereshit, Genesis, is a phenomenal part of the Torah. You know, Bereshit last week and Noach this week, and then the travels, and then the sacrifice of Isaac, and it's just such a phenomenal. There's so much to talk about. There's not enough time to talk about so many things, you know?
Yeah. So we'll do it in a nutshell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll do it in a nutshell and try to take a lesson out of it.
Yeah.
But obviously the story is that everyone knows God instructs Noah, the only righteous man in the world, which is consumed by violence and corruption, to build a large wooden cave, a large wooden ark, which is coated within and without with pitch. And obviously there's going to be a lot of water, then he has to bring in he has to provide shelter for himself, his family, two members, a male and a female of each of the animal species, and obviously the rain falls for 40 days and 40 nights, and then when finally the rain stops and he settles on Mount Ararat, and he then dispatches a raven and a series of doves, and he finally realizes, you know, that the flood is seized, it's finished, and he then goes out and he builds an altar and sacrifices and says thank you to God. You know, a lot of people make jokes about Noah and his ark, and I remember one of them is people always say that Noah is being the first stock market manipulator in history. Because he floated a company while the whole world was in liquidation.
Yeah, he invested
in
the rare stuff.
So we see that Noah was really a survivor. You know, Noah was saved from huge destruction that engulfed the world, and his greatest contribution was that he set out to rebuild the whole world.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't read anything about him, you know, sitting down and crying or putting his head in his hands in despair, even though I would imagine he probably had those moments. However, the critical thing that the Bible records is that after Noah emerged from his floating bunker, his goal was to, and he set himself as a task, to rebuild a shattered world, you know, from scratch.
Yeah.
And he got busy picking up all the pieces, and slowly but surely, he was able to start putting together society. And if you go and look, even one generation ago, a great flood swept over our world.
Yeah, the tsunami. You know?
Right, even before the tsunami, we see the Nazi plan was for a final solution.
Yeah, yeah.
And every Jew on earth was earmarked for destruction, and the Nazis were already planning their museum, you know, the extinct Jewish race.
Yeah.
And not one Jew was meant to survive. So even us, who were born after the war, are really, in essence, also called survivors. Why? Because even a Jewish child born today is a survivor based on Hitler's plan, which, you know, nearly happened. And if you go and look from Noah, what his whole purpose was, is that he was, had a moral duty to rebuild the Jewish world. And we all have that same responsibility. Why? Because we are all survivors. And, you know, Rashi, the commentator on the Torah, describes that Noah was a man of small faith. He also had doubts whether the flood would actually really happen. And, in fact, according to the great commentators, which, according to their understanding, is that he didn't even enter the ark until the rain actually started and the flood waters pushed him in. And based on that, it explains why many people look down at Noah, especially, you know, when they want to compare him to the biblical superheroes like, such as Abraham and Moses, Isaac, Moshe. And to me, personally, this is what makes Noah, you know, very, very appealing, very, very someone that you can relate to. At least I can, because he's real. You know, he's human. He has doubts, just like you and I have doubts. He also has doubts in regards to, is the flood really going to happen? And we see that Noah was really a regular guy. He was plagued with doubts and struggles in his faith. But at the end of the day, what do we see? Noah does the job. He builds the ark. He schleps all the animals. He saves civilization and goes on to rebuild the shattered world. And regardless of the doubts that he had and
the drinking problem.
that's true too. He drank a lot of wine later.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, he still did what he was supposed to do. He did what had to be done.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a old Yiddish proverb that says, "Von akasha stubbornness." Nobody ever died of a question. You know, and sometimes people they get frustrated or upset, but we have to realize that at the end, you know, we might not all the time necessarily get an answer to all of our questions. We can live with unanswered questions. However, you know, the main thing is that we shouldn't allow ourselves to become paralyzed by our doubts, by our questions. We can still do what has to be done, despite our doubts. We should not. No, he's a perfect, and that's why I love him so much, he's a perfect example. You know, he had the doubt, is the rain going to come, or not going to come? It's not going to come, maybe yes, maybe no. He has to be pushed in. But he still got the work done. He still came and did what he did. Now, of course, everyone would love to give other people answers. Everyone would love to make sure that we get answers for everything that we need in our lives and questions that we have. But the chances of us really getting an answer on every single thing is not for sure. And I think something that is so important is that, like we said in the Yiddish proverb, from a question nobody dies. However, it's how we behave that matters the most.
Yeah.
And so we see that Noah really reminds us that you don't have to be fearless to get involved. You don't have to be a tzaddik to do a mitzvah. You don't have to be holy to keep kosher. Nor do you have to be, you know, a professor, for example, to come to a Torah class. It's more up to us to be able to say, yes, I might have questions, I might have doubts, but I still need to do what I need to do. I still need to get the work done. I still need to, you know, for example, specifically in small little towns, for example, like Windsor, we need people that are wanting to get involved. They might have a doubt in a certain question that they might have about the community or about the person, whatever it is. But we have to get our work done. We need to get involved in the community. We need to get involved in the organizations. We need to get involved in the Jewish life. and because, and then we have to become the Noah, the Noahs of the world. We are all Noah.
Yeah.
And our job is to rebuild our city and to rebuild our world.
And community, yeah.
And community. And I think that's something so amazing that we can learn from, you know, all the other heroes and superheroes of this week's Torah portions and of the other, of our Jewish atmosphere and lives. Sometimes it's very hard for us to connect to. Well, this one, he was such a tzaddik, he was such a holy man, so obviously he's going to do that, but you can ask me. But no, on the other hand, he's a down-to-earth guy, just like one of us. He had his doubts, but he still got everything done. It's up to us to get things done. And that's what I think is something so important that we can learn from this week's Torah portion.
That's great. So, Rabbi, what about services in Shaarei Tzedek?
Services are, we're going to have services this Friday evening, which is going to be at 6:15, and then Shabbat morning is at 9 o'clock, and then there is a minyan and breakfast in town every Sunday at 8:30, which is at the Shah HaShemayim. So we've got our bases covered.
That's good. And we have new students this year?
Oh, we got a lot of new students this year. It's phenomenal. It's actually, just if you go and look at the Jewish population in students-wise this year, it's really grown since last year. More students are coming down, you know, they hear that there's more of a Jewish life a little bit on campus and that type of thing. And I actually had a meeting with the provost, vice presidents this today, actually, and we're trying to see different things to be able to enhance the Jewish life on campus. So.
And I think that that's the place to thank you, because I was invited to one of the evening to your sukkah, to dinner, and it was lovely, it was really nice. And I understood that every night of the Sukkot, you invited students and guests to your sukkah, and that's really nice.
No, that's you know, that's why we want to be able to have every, you know, I wish we can have everyone, but slowly but surely, you know, we had a, just I'll just tell you, we had an event for students, we had sushi in the sukkah.
Yeah.
And we had about 48 students that came out, so that was, it was really nice, so Baruch Hashem.
Okay. So Rabbi, thank you for your time and knowledge again.
Thank you, and God willing, we'll talk next week about the next beautiful parasha.
Yeah, Lech Lecha.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well,
thank you again, and Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you. You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. Be well. Bye-bye.